Last week, I was asking you a question about the relationship between being faithful and being blessed. So, have you solved that problem? Question was again, do you believe that you should be blessed, that you're blessed because you have faith? Or by the fact that you're blessed, so that you know you have faith? Which one comes first? Still, hard question. So today's thing is about what does it mean to be faithful? You know, a long, long, long time ago, we think about the Bible. Even if we take Abraham, probably he lived about 4,000 years ago, give or take. There is some differences. So if we take that, we still know that people lived before Abraham. We know that there's a relationship between God and humans before Abraham. Before any book was written, human beings were still there. And God, of course, was there. So, if you read the human history, it doesn't matter religious, anthropological, or just human history, you get to see our ancestors trying very hard to find a way to secure their family's fortune. Or, in a very least way, well-being. We all know that there are so many things we cannot control in life. And our ancestors knew that even better because they were living in an age where there's no technology. You know, children, if 10 are born to you, 7 may die. And there are wars, there are bandits, robbers. There are all kinds of dangers in the world. And they were thinking, how can we ensure the security and prosperity of my children? Even if you build the greatest army, that army may perish one day. Even if you build the strongest wall, that wall may fall down one day. How would you do it? So this is one part of explanation by some people. Religion was born to ensure that. Or did they actually discover, found, received a message from God that there is certainly something that's much more fundamental and essential. That there's a certain connection in between everything that exists. And there's a way, somehow, to receive something we call blessing of God by doing something. If you read today's Deuteronomy, it could be read as a blessing. It could be read as a curse. And if you are reading it after all the disaster happened, well, it could be a good explanation. But nothing happened yet. Why such a warning that God is saying, I'm going to make you to perish, destroy everything? So, why was it written that way? If God is so loving, so caring, so giving, I can only think of one way. Somehow, keeping this law is very, very important. And somehow fundamentally connected to the well-being of this specific people. In a way that somehow, if they live in certain way, in this way, there is this connection to them. If they refuse, it's not that God's cursing them, but maybe receiving blessing becomes harder. There's a book written by Swedenborg, Emanuel Swedenborg, our church's Swedenborgian. Name of the book is Divine Providence, quite thick book. And in the middle, kind of toward the end of the part, it talks about divine permission. When he's explaining about why bad things happen to good people, or why bad things actually happen. And his explanation is simply that God does not cause them. Matter of fact, God protects us all the time. And at a certain time, at a certain moment, God have to kind of take away a little part of their protection because of certain conditions that we caused. And then those things happen. That's his explanation. So, question to you. I have asked this question many times. Why are you religious? Let's think about that one. And this is my first talk. So did you find out the answer to the question that why are you religious? Was it because you're born into religion? Religious family? Was it because you found something on in your life's journey that this is it? Or was this because you have met God and you cannot deny it? Whichever the reason is, our journey is certainly all unique. And the reason for asking that question is simply that you think about it. And you know to yourself. So today's scripture reading is one of the hardest ones to understand in the Gospels. If you read it as it is, it's quite sometimes, in a way, disturbing. Jesus is saying, even if your father is dead, you don't bury him, just follow me. Or when you want to follow me, you don't go back your home, but just follow me. Or if you do, you're not worth it. And for that, we can simply understand today's teaching is another form of parable. It's not exactly how it meant as it is. Why? Because it begins actually with the first one. Somebody says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And to that, answer is, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. What kind of answer is that? Somebody says to you, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the answer is, foxes have the holes. Even the birds in the air have their nest, but I don't have place to lay my head. Now, the other way to understand, look at it, is it's about life on earth and life in heaven. In a way of saying, when this person is saying to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, in human mind, usually, that is about places on earth. Or, on the other way, if you're a politician, I'll follow wherever you go, what does that mean? Whatever you do, I'll follow you. I'll be behind you. I'll support you. And the answer to me is quite stunning, is that all the animals, they have their place on earth, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place on earth. It's in heaven. So it's not about what is of worldly, it's about what is of heavenly. And if you understand that, then the following conversations, two of them, may make sense. The Father stands now not as the Father who protects you and all the good meanings attached to it. When Abraham was called, he was specifically asked to leave his father's house and his home. There is in the connection that if you are on a spiritual journey, your father may stand for everything that kind of belongs to this world, of which you are from as a human being. So, in this context, the dead father does not stand for actually real dead father. Something that you need to leave behind. And your home is kind of the same way. Home, house, usually stands for state of mind. So when you follow Jesus, when you're on a spiritual journey, one of the things that you have to somehow put aside is the set of mind that you had in the previous life. In a way of saying, in a very simple example, is if you want to have a good habit, if you want to instill a good habit, the first thing you need to do is somehow to get out of old habit and never go back to that. If you go back to old one, it actually gets harder to get out again. And as you go back and more often, it gets harder and harder. So Jesus' advice to us goes in a very many degrees of teachings here is that one of the things is if you want to have a good life, move on. The moment you know, see, move on. Because if you go back, well, you want to stay there. And to get out gets harder. So, from that to in this journey, your journey to the spiritual life, to heaven, if you may believe. If you believe in life in heaven does not guarantee any and every relationship possession you have obtained in this life. Buddha is saying, you're born empty-handed, you die with empty-handed. Everything you have gained, earned, obtained in this life stays in this life. Somehow, our life has to have a good detachment, which is a hard thing. Because I'm a parent, I have two kids, and if I die, I may want to see them. And if they have children, then grandchildren, of course. But somehow all teachings of all religion confirms that life in the spiritual realm does not have anything, everything that belong to this life. You'll have an entirely new kind of state of being. So, my next question, would you still like to follow Jesus? Well, let's think about that. Long time ago in China, there was a guy named Confucius. He started a new tradition, new line of scholarship, new way of teaching, leadership, governance, and which became Confucianism, which became ruling philosophy for not only China, but Korea, and a good portion of Japan too. And in his line, there was somebody who is actually respected as a second saint. His English name is Mencius. One story in his book is that one day he came to see a king of Yang country, and the king was delighted and asking Mencius that, oh, welcome, wise teacher. How would you like to benefit my kingdom? And Mencius was not happy about that. So he got right away saying that a king shouldn't be thinking about the benefit of one's own kingdom first. And then the king wasn't happy about hearing that. So he asked, why not? It's my kingdom. It's my duty. Well, Mencius answered that if king were to only consider the benefit for his kingdom first, then that will become the principle, the priority of the kingdom. Therefore, everybody in the kingdom, all the leaders in the kingdom, will do exactly the same. They'll think about their own benefit first. So if king would think about his own benefit, then his subject, the leaders, and all the people. And at the end, your kingdom may become a very selfish one, which itself is self-destructive. So, after long stories go, king was asking, so what should I do? Well, king must consider first the virtue of being charitable. And then he was asking more questions and continues. I was amazed in studying this human history and many religions that somehow the ones I studied so far, Taoism, Buddhism, Confucianism, good part of Christianity, and even actually good part of philosophy, both Western and Eastern, somehow all of them agrees on one thing. What makes human beings essentially satisfied and happy is not anything that is of material origin. Meaning that somehow power, money, or anything that we possess as a things are not some things that make us happy or even satisfied. Or even ensuring the very simple but crucial test for all fathers and mothers and ancestors is, again, security and prosperity for their children. The advice of all the wise people is kind of opposite of the common practice. Instead of keeping all the wealth in your safe and in your storehouses, give it to the people. Why? Because material things may be stolen. You may lose them. May just become dust as you just store them in your storehouses. But goodwill, the charity you have given to the people, it lasts forever. So there was kind of, I believe, when I was growing up, my grandfather used to say something about a hidden charity. The power of hidden charity, he may say. The parents, grandparents do things like Jesus is saying, without really letting anybody know. Like if they see opportunity to help people, they help them. And they're not expecting anything in return from these people, but somehow they believed that there is a way of heaven. My grandfather was not really a religious person, so he believed in heaven, a power of heaven. He believed that somehow the way of heaven is that if you give love, charity out, even if you don't receive it, your children may receive it. If your children don't receive it, your children's children may receive it. Because what you give out to the world will return to you. If not to you, to your children or children's children. Now you have to think carefully. If you're giving out good things, expecting good things to return, how about if you're giving out bad things? Bad things may also return. Children, it's not a curse or anything like that. Children will have to live in a country, in a community, society, where their parents set the rules. If their parents are setting the rules of charity, loving, caring, then that will become the community for their children and their children's children. But parents set the rules in a way that is very selfish, and it's okay whenever opportunity is given. If you don't get caught, then you don't go to jail, then you just take it. Then that's the rule. Then that's the community that the children has to live in. Again, also children have their own freedom to change or to take it as it is. So, very simple belief that my grandfather was telling me actually had a deep-rooted base in ancient Confucian philosophy and belief in it. That somehow, whatever we give to the world will return to us. It's like a perpetual cycle. So good things we give out, good things will return. Bad things we'll give out. It's not the kind of way of a curse or anything like that. It's just that's the way the reality becomes, somehow. So, what does it mean to follow Jesus then? I grew up in a Presbyterian church. And I spent about 9 years in a Presbyterian church, being youth leader, Sunday school teacher, and all that. In that, following Jesus meant simply saying all the right things and go out and get as many people as possible into the church. That was following Jesus. Why? Because I'm saving their souls. You know, otherwise they're damned to hell, and it's my honor to save their whole souls from being damned to hell. That was my practice and belief. But is that all, really? Is that really what it meant to follow Jesus? If you read the Gospels, Jesus is talking something kind of quite different about what it means to follow him. And in here, what I'm reading is something about changing the priority. Accepting, if you want to accept new rule, that means you have to either give up old rule or have to change your old rule so that new rule can actually fit into you. And the rules that Jesus is giving to these people, if you read Gospel, four Gospels, very carefully, actually were not really well accepted. Especially the people who claimed to be leaders of the Jews didn't really like that at all. Why was that? Somehow there's something that was going against what they really believed to be or what they want to believe to be. So, if Jesus were coming to your house tonight as guest of your dinner, in what way can you make him happy? That is a big question I'm just giving to you. I don't know the answer. I may know my answer. But if you believe in Jesus, or if you believe in other gods, that's okay too. But if you believe in God, if your God comes to you today and sit down with you for dinner, how would you make your God happy about you? What would it take? That's what Jesus is saying actually here. What's your priority? In your life, what are the principles you're following? Is it that you made them all, so you're following you? Or is there something that you actually have taken from teachings, wisdom, the truth that taught to you by God, your God, of course? And there is a way that you are following. One thing that is really, really simple and very, very important in all spiritual cultivation, which is very, very hard as you get older and as you get wiser, or you get to know more things is to be humble. If you're a child, it's very easy to follow leadings. Matter of fact, actually, you actually prefer to follow the guidance and leadership of adults. As we get older, that gets harder and harder. It applies to me too, so I know that well too. Yet, if we really think in this spiritual aspect of our life, from the moment we're born, God has been leading us. And everything somehow that is happening with us is within this something called divine providence. Yet we make choices. And each choice we make will bring different things. So are we going on a way to following Jesus? Or are we saying to Jesus that, hold on, I'm going to go back to my home or my old habit. I'm going to just do one more thing before I follow you. Just one more thing. As we all know, one more thing becomes two more things. Two more things becomes 10 more things. And 10 more things becomes, you know what, I'll follow you next. I'll catch you next time. And the message, in a way, is that there are certain things that comes into your mind as a message. That's the moment to follow. And to me, following Jesus is not about trying to save all the souls or saying all the right things, but trying to follow that inner voice that comes to you and telling you, do something that is very good. And probably that's the moment to do it. Instead of saying, I'll do it next time, I'll think about it. Some things must be done at the right time. And God gives you the sign at the right time. And only humble hearts are capable of listening. These voices, small, still voices coming into you in the nighttime. The song you just sang, that Here I Am, that's Isaiah. But also, there's the other boy who listened, the voice of God calling him in the night, Samuel. So, to me, following Jesus is trying to keep my heart as humble as possible, as open as possible, and try to do things that I believe to be right. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy. And I'm also telling you, if your child is in hospital, it gets harder. If they're in cross over the Pacific Ocean, it gets even harder. Actually, my daughter was admitted into hospital last Saturday. She was in the hospital. She was just discharged yesterday. And just about the time she was discharged, son was admitted into the hospital. So one day, they were laying on the same bed. They're smiling. They're kids. But it was not easy. And trying to understand all that as work of God, there's a protection, there's still love of God present. They're okay. In a way, it happened in the best possible scenario. So it's again, it's a good thing in a way. But last week, 7 days, I was talking with my wife yesterday. This was the hardest week after we're married. Because she had to stay in the hospital 8 days in a row. She was just packing her bag, and then she had to unpack them again. And I was just relieved that my daughter is going home tomorrow, and then I call again and heard that my son's admitted. A viral infection that, probably unknown cause, but high fever. So they had to be in hospital and the watch. And my sister's doctor working in that hospital. So I said, you know, it's in the best scenario possible. But again, still, yes, God makes you really humble in many ways. And all that I did all week was just praying. That's the only thing I could do. I'm calling them. You know, I cannot even hold their hands. But again, what should I do in this time? Well, I could have gone many different ways. In my prayers, I found one way, that I keep my heart at peace. I keep my faith intact. I pray to God whenever I call them with Skype. I smile at them and telling them everything's going to be okay. And I love them. So, following Jesus is not very easy. But at the same time, there is so much inner reward that comes into you. Somehow, I was at peace. It's very, very strange feeling that to describe to you, that one side of my heart is so torn and full of sadness and a bit of anger too, actually. Because why did it happen when I'm not there? Just a week before I'm going there, right? At the same, but the other side of the heart is at peace with God and seeing that it's happening for a reason, and I believe for a good reason. And I'm saying it because I believe in God, and I believe God is love. So, how about you? Question again, if your God comes to your home tonight for dinner with you, how would you make your God happy with you? Please think about it. And may God bless you all and all that you do. Amen.